Every evening we chant the chant on the sublime abidings. Immeasurable goodwill, immeasurable compassion, immeasurable empathetic joy, and immeasurable equanimity. Because for the most part, our goodwill, compassion, empathetic joy, and equanimity have measures, have limits. We need practice in going beyond those limits. The more limited, the more narrow our concerns are, the bigger the sufferings in life are going to seem, the more overwhelming. If we're going to work on them, we have to make sure they don't seem overwhelming. So you want to make your mind larger than they are, so they don't consume all your attention. You think about other beings. They have their sufferings as well. They want happiness as well. So in one sense, we're all in this together. And you have to think about how your sufferings fit in with the rest of the sufferings of the world. To what extent are you actually causing other people to suffer? And you remember there are a lot of people out there who are suffering a lot more than you are right now. And even though you don't feel their sufferings, at least it's important to get a sense of perspective on where you are, what your problems are. So you can tackle them with more confidence, realizing that as you're sitting here meditating, it's not just your issues that you're dealing with. You're trying to find a happiness that doesn't impinge on anyone else, doesn't take anything away from them, doesn't cause them any suffering. So it's not just you sitting here. You're part of a larger world. And you want to do the responsible thing, find a happiness that's harmless, so that maybe you can have something to help offer other people when you've found that happiness. To say an arahant is someone who lives without any debts to the world. When you're free of greed, aversion, and delusion, you're not in anyone's debt at all. Which means that everything you give is a gift. Everything you do, say, and think is a gift. And that would be a really nice position to be in. Instead of the way we are right now, is constantly piling up karmic debts. Beholden to this person for food, that person for shelter, this person for emotional support. We want to learn how to depend on ourselves. So whatever problems you have, whatever issues you have, it's good to expand your mind so the issues don't seem so large, so they don't loom or don't loom over you. They're just there in the mind. But your mind can be expanded to encompass a lot more than them. So when you chant those phrases, may all beings be happy, make sure it's not just a phrase. Think about it, what it means. And try to get your head around it. Like that character in To the Looking Glass who said he'd like to think about two or three impossible things every morning before breakfast. I'll try to think about infinity every day, at least once, twice, three times a day, to put your issues into perspective and to remind yourself why you're here meditating. You're trying to find a true happiness. And the pursuit of happiness here is not just a hedonistic thing. You're looking for a happiness that requires wisdom, it requires compassion, requires purity. That's the skill we're working on as we focus on the breath. We're developing qualities of mind that we're going to need to find that true happiness. We start with mindfulness because it's pretty simple mental faculty, just keeping something in mind, reminding yourself why you're here, that you want to act in a skillful way, think in a skillful way, speak in a skillful way. And you want to hold that motivation, you want to hold that aspiration in mind so you don't forget it. But that faculty needs a lot of training because we so easily forget. We're so easily distracted. And the way the world is going right now, everything is built on just keeping everybody distracted all the time. So we've got to fight that tendency. So you find something where you can stay with the breath. And the simple fact that the breath is coming in and out, that becomes your signal. It becomes your reminder, stay right here, stay right here. Because right here is where all the important things are happening. Your intentions are happening right here. And the choice as to whether you're going to go with a particular intention, that's happening right here as well. So there are a lot of reasons why the Buddha has you stay focused on the breath as your primary object of meditation. It's free. It's going to be here as long as the body's alive. And it's something very intimate with the mind. It's the part of your awareness, or the part of the world that's as close to the mind as you can get without actually being in the mind. And because there's only the present breath that you can watch. As long as you're with the breath, you know and you're in the present. And when you're in the present, then you can watch things in the mind, not get distracted, lose your frame of reference and go off into the past, into the future. You want to establish your frame of reference right here. So that even though a thought may appear, make sure that it's kind of like a little thought balloon. You don't go into the balloon, it's there. Appears in the mind for a minute, and then it disappears. But you don't get into it. You stay here in the body. This is why in the Buddha's meditation instructions, as soon as he has you sensitive to what long breathing feels like and what short breathing feels like, he tells you to be aware of the whole body as you breathe in, the whole body as you breathe out. Because this helps to solidify this sense of being here in the present moment. When your focus is full body like this, it's a lot harder for the mind to go slipping off. The mind that goes into thought balloon has to turn itself into a little point, which is where it usually is. It's very limited range that we're focused on. So it's very easy to slip in and out of these little thought balloons. But here you're trying to make your awareness as large as possible so it can't slip into those little crevices, those little cracks. If you can't be aware of the whole body all at once, or if you find that difficult, let's say whole torso all at once, and then your torso and your arms, and then your torso and your legs. And you go through the body as you breathe in, breathe out, noticing how it feels in the different parts of the body. You're focused on your arms, compare which arm has more attention. Sometimes you have more tension in the upper arm on the right side and then more tension in the wrist on the left side. Well, just notice these things, and then whichever side seems to have more tension, try to relax that side. It's the same as you go down the spine. Which side of the spine has more tension? In the neck, in the thorax, down in the lumbar region, all the way down to the tailbone. And relax whichever side seems to be holding on to more tension. You find that the more relaxed the body is, the more you sense a flow of energy going through it as you breathe in, as you breathe out. This gives you a good foundation. a good solid place to stay. So when thoughts come up, they just go right through. They don't knock you off your frame of reference, because your frame of reference is large. And then you learn to stay here. Sometimes this route means simply just being very still right here. Other times it means investigating things in the body, areas where the breath energy seems to be in knots or entangled in various ways, and trying to sort out the tangles. If you have an injury in one part of the body, think of the breath energy going right through the injured part. Notice where the breath energy seems to be cut off or blocked, and see if you can find ways around the blockage. It's like coming down a city street and discovering there's a big accident on the route that you're planning to take. Well, you take an alternative route. And find you can get around it. Or to change the image, you see if you can make it, your awareness really refined so you can go right through. There's a lot to explore here if the mind wants to explore. When it's had enough exploring, you can just sit and be very still with the breath. Allow your awareness to be totally surrounded by the breath, so the sense of the breath and the awareness become one. And if you can maintain that focus, stay right there. If you find that you can't, then go back to surveying the body again. The important thing is you stay within the frame of the body right here. This is your anchor in the present moment. And while you're here, you can't help but see mental events happening and feelings of pleasure or pain coming. There's all kinds of stuff that's coming in and out of the present moment, all the different frames of reference that you could choose. But it's good to stick with the body as long as you can. If a thought comes in, simply notice, how does it affect the breath energy in the body? Is there any part of the body that gets tensed up when the thought appears? What happens if you release that tension? In other words, keep this as your primary frame of reference. It's like holding something in your fist. Other things may come and brush against the back of the fist, but you don't turn around and try to hold on to them. You've got something valuable right here. And it's not the case that other things are not valuable, but for the time being, you really want to learn how to hold on to this. Because you've got to strengthen that faculty of mindfulness. You've got to strengthen your alertness. And you develop a sense of ease while you're here. So the breath feels calm. If you're relaxed, it feels calming. If you're feeling tense, it's relaxing. If you're feeling low, the breath can give you more energy. Learn to explore this so you can take advantage of it. You're trying to give the mind a good foundation, and it's going to need various ways of maintaining its balance. Sometimes it gets discouraged, so you need a way to energize it, gladden it, as the Buddha said. Other times it gets carried away with its exploring, and you need to steady it. It burdens itself with various things. You need to learn how to put those burdens down. So there are a lot of skills you need to develop here. It's not just one skill. The Buddha didn't teach any Johnny one-note meditation. Because when issues come up in the mind, they don't all come up in the same way. And you're going to need different approaches and different strategies for dealing with them. And developing this sense of spaciousness in the breath and the body here. It's very similar to developing those thoughts of immeasurable goodwill. It gives you a larger perspective. So that the pains in the body don't seem so overwhelming, whatever emotional issues come up, they don't seem so overwhelming either. You're bigger than they are, more expansive than they are. They don't seem so intimidating. And so when pains do come up, you're in a better position to look at them, because this is the duty the Buddha assigns to pain and suffering, is to comprehend it. There's no virtue in just sitting there and suffering. You want to try to understand it. So you need to develop a place where you can watch it. And see, okay, this is how the pain begins, and this is how it's inconstant. It comes and goes and comes back again and goes again and moves around. Well, the same with metal pain. It flares up for a while, then goes away, then comes back again, goes away. You can dig up issues from the past, things you've forgotten for a long time, and really torment yourself here if you want to, but you realize it doesn't accomplish anything. You try to see, why is it that the mind likes to create suffering for itself? It has its reasons. As the Buddha said, if there weren't some pleasure in the aggregates, we wouldn't fall for them. Remember, the aggregates are not things, they're activities. They're certain ways of thinking, ways of feeling. And even in the painful ones, there's a certain amount of pleasure. That's why we indulge in them. So you've got to look for that pleasure and then compare it with the pain. This requires having the mind in a really good place so it doesn't feel so overwhelmed by these things that all it can think about is trying to get rid of the pain, rid of the pain, rid of the pain. If you have a sense that you're larger than the pain, then it doesn't seem so overwhelming, and you can sit with it more easily but not feel so threatened by it. You may think, well, this isn't my style of meditation. I'd like to do something that's a little bit more pleasant. But it doesn't work that way. It's not the sort of thing that you can choose or not choose. The Buddha's noble truths are universal truths. They apply across the board. The duties he applies here are universal duties. If you want to put an end to suffering, if you're not interested, well, the Buddha's not going to force you. But if you had enough suffering, this is what you've got to do, just the way things are. You've got to comprehend the suffering until you can see what's causing it. Then you can let go of the cause. And you've got to develop the mental skills and mental space, the mental strengths that can allow you to comprehend and abandon. That's what we're working on right now, is developing those skills, the mindfulness, the concentration, the discernment, this larger state of mind that allows you to be bigger than your sufferings, bigger than your pains. So try to keep this in large perspective in mind. This is one of the Buddhist terms for the mind in concentration, is the expanded mind or the enlarged mind. You can see things from a larger perspective, not be so overwhelmed by whatever problems come up. This is why in so many of the Buddha's reflections, he keeps reminding you that whatever you're suffering, other people are suffering. And whatever they're doing, suffering from, you have the potential for suffering from that as well, if you don't get your act together. We're all in this together. So it helps to get rid of that line of thinking that says, well, why me? You look around and there's nobody who's exempt, except for people who train their minds. So there's an out. And the out is right here. So learn to get really acquainted with right here and develop the skills you need in order to get acquainted right here. And you'll find it.